found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
sick performance.
Feeling it.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David, and with me, as always,
Aaron O'Brien.
Today we're here to talk about the future of Star Trek and what we think that means, what we hope it means, and any kind of news that we actually have on hand.
It's weird talking about the future, about the future, because Star Trek is about the future, and yet we're still talking about it. What will happen?
Well, we hope will happen.
Yes.
I really hope something good happens with Star Trek. As far as movie news, the latest biggest thing I've seen is that Idris Elba is slated to play a villain in Star Trek 3.
But not the Klingon, as Simon Pegg has put out. He said he may or may not be a Klingon.
Well, Simon Pegg, I love him. He's a great actor. He's a funny guy. But you cannot trust the thing he says.
No, you can't.
Whenever it's about a movie.
And it's still in the studio, so he's going to play it. I mean, let's remember what we did with the whole Khan thing.
Well, he denied Khan was going to be in the movie on his Facebook and Twitter and everywhere.
It's not Khan.
So, unfortunately, as much as we want to trust him, we just can't.
Yeah, no, we can't trust him. I don't really care if he plays a Klingon or not. I'm just hoping that this next Star Trek 3 really delivers. And it does seem like, to me, that Simon Pegg wants to do with the true spirit of what was going on in the original series and what Next Generation also portrayed as the spirit of adventure, wandering, something more noble than just a darkness and fighting all the time.
Yeah, but we've been burned before. Both the previous two prequels.
Many times.
Both the previous two prequels said, oh, we're going to, like, you know, shoot for the classic Star Trek feel. And I don't think either of them actually.
Yeah, I thought did. The first one, I thought they were close to the mark. And it was, they tried to, like, revamp it, give it a little more juice for the 2009 reboot. I thought they did the best they could, and what they were trying to do is get younger audiences interested. But that being said, I don't think that I thought that, you know, and me and you have talked about Into the Darkness more than once, and it's it has so much there, but it just kind of, to me, it kind of fell short of what Star Trek's about. I think they came real close, but I think they didn't seal the deal in the end. And there was a couple things that I had a lot of beefs with in the end as well. With the portrayal of Spock and kind of the callbacks to Wrath of Khan, which I thought could have gone without.
Yeah, I think we're leaving our listeners in the dark because we've had this past conversation about the movies. We might have to do an episode just on the 2009 movie and Into Darkness.
Well, just to boil it down, where Dave falls down is that he does enjoy Into the Darkness. He thought it was a pretty decent movie. I walked away kind of shaking my head, not feeling the same way. I didn't hate the movie, but I didn't love it either. I kind of think they've strayed away from what Star Trek's supposed to be. But that's just me. I'm not. I understand a lot of people do enjoy that, and they did get into it. I'm not knocking because you liked it or disliked it. It's just it wasn't what to me represented what Star Trek is.
Although with me, I don't really care about spoilers. I like knowing as much as about what I'm going into as humanly possible. So I read as many rundowns as what people thought was going to happen in the movie as possible. So my expectations were met because I knew it was going to happen and I was just along for the ride.
It wasn't even that for me. It wasn't the idea that they used used Khan as a villain or any of that. I just was the idea that they did the callbacks to Wrath of Khan. I didn't think it needed to go there. And second thing, I really disliked the emotional outburst of Spock in that movie too. I thought it was almost sacrilege.
I wouldn't have mind if Spock just yelled a guttural, angry yell. The fact that he said "Khan" kind of took me out of it because it's trying too much to copy what's come before.
Right.
And after we both watched Yesteryear, we saw even maybe we didn't notice as much in 2009 that was directly lifted from other previous Star Trek. But after seeing Yesteryear, there's definitely a couple lines specifically about Spock lifted word for word from Yesteryear and inserted into the 2009 reboot.
Yeah. And that, you know, I just hope that Star Trek III, that it, the director and that Simon Pegg is writing it, really try to, I don't know the best word for it. I hope they just try to encapsulate what Star Trek's supposed to be. I think Simon Pegg is probably the best person right now who's on the staff to do that. I'm still nervous because I know the studio is involved, and I know the studio is going to try to steamroll certain things. Like, you know, we've heard the rumors of that they want it to be more like Guardians of the Galaxy, which is, that's another great movie, but to me, that's not Star Trek.
Well, the first movie was a Star Wars ripoff, and the second movie was a Dark Knight ripoff. So, I mean, we might as well continue with well, that's what they were trying to go for. They were trying to go for, a darker feel, and they even put dark in the name.
Right. It's like they lost the identity of what Star Trek is, and it's not a mystery of what Star Trek's about. I mean, I think if you talk to any given fan, a true fan of Star Trek, they're going to tell you what Star Trek's about, and it has, yeah, there can be the darkness, and there can be, you know, warfare and aggression, but that's not what it's all about.
And the good thing is Simon Pegg is a fan of Star Trek, and he's got his hand in writing it. I mean, I know some people complain that when fans write things, things can get out of hand, but, I mean, I would imagine Leonard Nimoy was definitely a fan of Star Trek, and he wrote, you know, co-wrote Star Trek IV, also
true.
Co-wrote Star Trek VI.
Yeah.
You know, he had his hand in that, so Simon Pegg, and even this character Scotty in Into Darkness said, you know, aren't we here to be explorers? So hopefully, since his character said that, hopefully Simon feels the same and we can see something new.
Right. So we might have a villain. We're not quite sure who he is. There's also been rumors of Bryan Cranston might be a villain as well. Don't know if that's founded or unfounded, but
I'm guessing it's unfounded now that Idris Elba is in the running.
I also heard that Idris might be the next James Bond.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true or not either. That's just a rumor as well. So there's lots of rumors. His career, he seems like he could go anywhere right now.
Yeah. Definitely. So there's a couple things that's happening with the current life of Star Trek. I mean, we looked at information on the show. There was information that a 10-year-old Bryan Singer concept was coming to fruition for a TV series, and then IO9 the next day came out and said, this is 10 years old, this is not even remotely true.
Well, there was some foundation for it. It's just that it was old news. There are some things out here that I've actually been looking at, some of the stories here that which you have to take with a grain of salt because it came from Latino Review, and almost everything I've read from Latino Review
comes true.
Is like literally ridiculous. I mean, a few of them do come true, but I mean, they did say that a lot of things. They say a lot of crazy things, and then you're just like, what was that about? So the idea was Star Trek Federation. It was supposed to take place. It's supposed to take place in the far future of the Federation, and So Bryan Singer was attached to that as well as his production. It's Bad Hat Harry is what it's called, Productions. That still might be in the running of some sorts, but that seems like it's fallen off since then. So who knows?
Well, you also got to remember that with the reboot series, they've been talking about rebooting Star Trek since Star Trek IV.
Right.
I think the original concept after Star Trek IV was to do a reboot, and the actors didn't really care for that. They wanted to, you know, keep playing the roles. So, and then Star Trek VI, they were also talking about having, you know, a young Kirk and Spock and McCoy, and that also went out the door. So, I mean, that's a 30-year-old idea.
Right.
And they did that. So for a TV show to use a 10-year-old idea, to me, isn't too far out of the, line of merit.
Right. And, they've been kicked. Let's just break it down from my standpoint. They had Star Trek Enterprise, which was, I don't know how successful it was money-wise, but fan-wise, it was huge. I mean, when they went to cancel that show, the fans, this was before Kickstarter, too, the fans literally band together and procured money to fund another season. And Paramount, the UPN network, just flatly just did not even go for it. I don't even understand what... It almost feels like those group of I don't know who even they were in X-Files who seemed to control the world. I don't know what their names were, but they seemed to there seemed to be like some controlling force to holding back what Star Trek could be or what should be. Because when your fans procure all this money to fund another season, it seems ridiculous that it would fall on deaf ears from the actual studio and from the production, the people producing the show. I would say like, well, let's do one more season at least, because that was the big problem at the end of Enterprise, is that they cut it short when it was just really getting its legs.
Oh, season 4 of Enterprise was such a good season. It's so disappointing that the show ended at that point. And I know about a year ago there was a rumor that people were trying to get it funded to go to Netflix for another season.
Which would have been great, too.
I would have loved to have seen that, but I talked to my dad about it. As I talked about in the first episode, my dad got me in the track. He's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. And it hasn't, and that's sad. But
It's hard to fathom that, though. I mean, you think that all, fans that... I mean, like I said, this is before Kickstarter or any of that kind of social funding... came around, that there were people that literally just pooling money to fund another season, and they were like, nah, we're still not going to do it. I remember that was like whatever 2004, 2005 when that happened. I was like, what? How can you ignore this?
And there were fans standing out on the CBS lot. If you've seen the documentary Trek Nation, Rod Roddenberry goes out there and they're holding a giant banner with like, thousands of signatures on it, and they ask him to sign it. And he goes and signs it. And like, there's all these people out there wanting to keep Enterprise alive, and the studio just ignored them. It's a shame. And the thing is, they moved season 4 to the Friday night death slot. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know why you would put a show there and expect it to make any money and then, it didn't make any money. After it's over. I mean, everyone knows that's the death slot.
Yeah, I don't get it either. But that's kind of where the networks heads have been with this. And so there's another rumor there's a thought of actually doing a reboot, bringing back doing a whole nother reboot with the Kirk, Spock, McCoy characters. That's being thrown out there. So this was a report that I had here. This is from the Nerdist. Their geek pop webzine came out just a few days ago, actually, that these are two different types of shows that they're looking for. So they're looking at one that's going to be a complete reboot with Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. And I don't know how that would be played out, but so that's being thrown out there. And then there's going to be another one that is being produced by this guy Jeffrey Thorne, and they're doing like a far-flung future of the Federation. So you won't have any of the characters that we know. It'd be a totally different crew. I don't know what that's even about, but those are the two that are being tossed around right now in the studios. I don't know how far that is or what that's, if that's even or even a thing.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell with nothing really official out. Also, a year ago, there was it might have been 2 years now, there was a rumor they were talking about throwing out a CSI Star Trek show,
yeah,
or medical-based Star Trek show. And then it was the weirdest rumor because like, there was no like someone coming out that I could tell that saying, denying it, that it was not true at all. No one either corroborating it either. It just came out, and then there was nothing that I ever saw about this ever denied or affirmed.
Right.
And I assume it's, you know, not a thing because we've got nothing to show for it, not even any other rumors.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was just something that was on the writer's table, and they gave some a script treatment, and they still didn't want to go into it. So apparently, the idea of Star Trek being on a television series is still not getting any momentum within the studio. I think the fans really want to see this. I think the fans would rather have a TV show rather than a movie.
I would.
I would too. I think it's worse. I mean, people say it all the time. That's where Star Trek belongs. It belongs in a TV setting where you can, you know, have small encapsulated stories, or maybe a thread of a story, but, you know, in a TV setting where you can tune in weekly for.
Yeah, exactly, and it needs to be that, because as beautiful as the two reboot movies have been, I just the story and like the character development has been lacking. Like Scotty and Bones have had such tiny parts in these movies, and they're two of my favorite characters. And they've got 10 minutes of screen time apiece, maybe.
Yeah, and not just that, they're caricatures of the characters. I mean, I think they did as good as they could. I thought the first one, the first reboot, had a better McCoy character. Like, he seemed like a little more developed. The Scotty character, you didn't see too much of, and then in the Into the Darkness, you had more Scotty, but it was more of comedy, you know, him running around in the Dreadnought class ship there. But I don't know. It just, it's not even. It's just like, you're right, there is no background character. I mean, the most background we got on any of them is Kirk and Spock, and you know, I still
Uhura, really. I mean, she's almost the third most important character in.
But she gets a little bit, but we don't know much about her other than that she has a relationship with Spock. We don't know anything about her background. They don't really talk about it. I don't know. It's an odd thing. I understand you only have so much time to devote that into a movie because you're just, you know, you only have like, you know, two and a half hours, and you got to go from point A to point B to C to end the movie. But I don't know. There's something lacking in there, and that's where you get when you have the episodes of a television show, you get to have the slow developing of characters, even characters you didn't like in the beginning, you end up liking a little bit in the end.
Or, you know, having, you know, whole episodes about some of the more minor characters, like Chekhov, because I mean, he's also only had like 2 minutes in both the movies combined.
Yeah, and he's another just a caricature. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to really get into it. And the one thing I heard people saying, especially about the movies, was that they're looking to get young people, and they're having a huge drop off with young fans. Like, the young fans aren't grabbing onto it like the older fans are.
Yeah, there's a huge hole in the demographics for Star Trek in the Darkness. Like, it was like people like 29 and above were like the biggest group of people going to see the movie, and that whole, like, you know, sub 30 group of people, which is the group of people that usually sees movies multiple times, where you get the most money from, didn't really go see it. And although I've never seen all of any of the Fast and the Furious movies all the way through, so I can't say I'm a fan of Justin Lin, although I'm probably going to say I'm not. that being said, those movies draw that crowd. And Justin Lin directed several of those movies, and I'm hoping he will be able to draw that young crowd. Although, unfortunately, if he does draw that young crowd, they're probably going to have to say, "From the maker of Fast and the Furious," on the screen.
I know.
On a Star Trek trailer, and that's going to kill me inside.
Like somebody making a joke, you know, Star Trek 3 tachyon rift and stuff like that. I mean, honestly, and this is just, you know, if you like Fast and Furious, I don't mean to like put anything down, but I've watched two of the movies. I just thought they're a little, you know, light in the brain mattered. And on top of that, it's like if we're aiming for those kids, who needs them? Who cares? I don't want them. You know, they're not critical thinkers for what we're looking for Star Trek fans.
Paramount wants them. Paramount wants their dollars so they can make more Star Trek.
I know. That's the part is like, that's where it doesn't work in the movies.
We want their dollars so we can see more Star Trek.
Yeah. I just totally disagree, and this is where money really fouls things up. And I know it's a money-driven industry, but it's hard for me to compromise my views and thoughts on what Star Trek should be.
Oh, that's true, and it hurts. But as long as he pulls in the money, if he doesn't mess it up and it makes money, and Paramount's like, "We want more Star Trek." At least I'll be happy if there's more Star Trek.
Hey, if they can pull it off and it's a movie I can enjoy and I can like show to my friends and say this is Star Trek and they're not like looking at me like, okay, this is stupid. Cool. I'm good with it. And I think if it keeps with the Star Trek spirit, you know, that's important too.
For sure. So now that we've talked about rumors and the, you know, current state of what's going on with Star Trek, as far as officially licensed Paramount stuff, let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that are going on that are fan-driven continuations of
outside
Star Trek.
The studio, which seems to have life instead of death in the studios.
I don't know if, hopefully, if you guys are following the Facebook page for Synthaholics. We have put up a video just the other day about Axanar. And the prelude to Axanar video, it's around like 23 minutes long.
So good. You need to, if you haven't watched it, you have to watch it.
It's gorgeous. It's got a great list of actors. It's got Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica. It's got J.G. Hetchler, who was Martok in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, there's just a lot. There's a lot there. It's pre-Kirk days, and I don't know the star date and how far back it's supposed to actually take place. But it was basically the war between the Klingons and the Federation, and how the Klingons were kicking our ass at first.
It's about Garth of Izar and his battle.
Right. So we're talking before Kirk.
Oh yeah, but you said you didn't know who it centered on. That's who it centers on.
No, I just meant I don't know how far back, because like they're building the Constitution or the Constellation class starships in the like the in Axanar there, but they don't really wasn't really clear on how far back with the star dates. But that being said, it's just such a cool thing. I can't wait to see more from that, because it's just, I think they've got the look. I don't know if it's got the feel of Star Trek, but it definitely has the look of it, and it's just fantastic. I can't say much more good things about it.
I really liked the look. The look is almost a marriage of the original TOS design from the 60s show,
yeah,
and then like updated look like J.J. Abrams look. It's almost like a mix of like the J.J. look and the original look on the ship designs, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, they did just such a good job, and it's like, I just can't wait. And like we were saying, the actors are all, you know, they're not unknown actors. They're not, you know, huge actors, but they're all, you know, they have you'll see them in movies, like in regular feature films. So it's fan funded. It's just really wonderful to see such a breath of life coming in for the whole Star Trek world.
Yeah, we've got Tony Todd, we've got Kate Vernon, J.G. Hertzler, as I said earlier. I probably messed up his name earlier. We've got Gary Graham, Garrett Wang, you know, Harry Kim.
That's
a big name right there. And then we've also got Star Trek Continues, which has three episodes online right now. Pilgrim of Eternity, Lomani, Fairest of Them All, and they're coming out with episode 4, The White Iris, on May 29th. And those have been absolutely fantastic. I've been trying to get Aaron to watch them.
I watched a little bit in the beginning. I've just been tied up lately, so I haven't got the chance to watch those yet, but they are on my list, and it's great because you can just, you know, go to the website and you can just watch the movies right there. So,
and they're full length episodes. They even took the time to shoot them in 4:3 ratio.
Yeah.
They rebuilt the sets exactly. The cast does a great job playing the characters, and the stories are so good. Episode 3, Fairest of Them All, really stood out to me because it's the Mira episode where it picks up immediately right after the Kirk's Mirror Mirror episode in TOS.
Right.
And they actually filmed the end of that episode, and they did the camera shoots back and forth and the dialogue and everything, and just put people in the same place as they were in the original series to make that scene shot for shot.
That's awesome.
Exactly how it was.
Yeah.
And then they just pick it up, and the whole episode takes place in the Mirror Universe with a, you know, Kirk and Spock, you know, basically fighting over control of the Enterprise.
Right, right. No, that's cool. I saw like the first half of the first episode. I didn't have time to watch the rest of it, but yeah, that was really well done. I don't know how they're getting their funding and paying their actors and doing their...
Oh, they both, the first three episodes were from an original Kickstarter they did, and they just closed Kirkstarter 2.0 for episode 4, 5, and 6, I believe.
A Kirkstarter.
It was a Kirkstarter.
Nice. No, I think they did great, and it's really fantastic. If you haven't seen it, you should, I mean, like I said, they're free. You can just go to their website, and you can check it out. So fun just to see the characters come back to life and you know, be into their environments of the ship and their costumes and everything. It's great to see again.
As part of the Kirkstarter 2.0, they actually were able to get funding enough to build an engineering set for Scotty.
Wow, great.
So don't have the engineering set in the first three episodes, but hopefully we'll see it in the fourth or fifth episode coming up.
Always a couple good fight scenes in the engineering room.
Our friends over at Shrek Geeks Podcast have actually had the privilege and honor of interviewing several of the actors over from Star Trek Continues. They interviewed Michelle Spratt. They have interviewed Todd Haberkorn. They also interviewed Larry Nemechek, who was playing Bones for the first two episodes. Looks like they've looking at their website right now. Looks like they've got a different actor playing Bones going forward, Chuck Huber. They also interviewed Kat Roberts, who was kind of one of the walk-on roles for the Mirror Mirror episode. And I think she's supposed to be back in episode 4.
Cool. Yeah, there's some lot of action. Honestly, from, you know, I was too young to remember this, of course, but, you know, after, you know, the original series went off the air, there was... A long dry spell even before the animated series came back on, and there was a lot of talk about a movie, there was a lot of talk about another TV show, but it was really the fans that kept the whole Star Trek thing going. I mean, it was through fanzines, it was through conventions, and I think we're seeing that again. I mean, it's like, this is, I mean, we got the movies, of course, but it's really the fans that are driving this thing to keep on going. I mean, if it wasn't for people like us, people, you know, running websites and putting these movies together and these, you know, web episodes. I don't think Star Trek... I mean, I've seen other web... I mean, those are fantastic. I've seen ones that are, like, lower grade. They're still fun to watch, you know, but they're not as well produced. But it's still, like, these people just love Star Trek and they're putting them together.
It's amazing how much good work is going in from the fans. I just wish that Paramount or CBS would pay attention and just be like, look at what these guys are doing, like, and seeing what success they are. I mean, people are giving money away to these Kickstarters,
yeah,
so that they can see Star Trek being made.
And I don't understand how they can turn a deaf ear to that. It's frustrating, and it's so bizarre. I mean, technically all that stuff is not considered canon, but it's like, I don't know. I just have a hard time wrapping my brain around that, why they're not really getting onto the whole bandwagon for Star Trek. I mean, it's just, I think there's such a hunger for it out there in the fan world.
And, you know, even it's not even just the fans who are doing this. There's another Star Trek in the making called Star Trek Renegades, where you've actually got Walter Koenig playing Admiral Chekov and Tim Russ as Tuvok.
Yeah.
And they're both very active in getting this off the road. It looks really interesting. Actually, Robert Picardo is going to reprise his role as Lewis Zimmerman in Renegades. Uh-huh. I am really excited about this, except for one thing. The main character, I guess the captain of the ship, is playing Khan's daughter. I don't know how that works. I cannot find a reason as to why it's Khan's daughter.
Really?
Or how she became to be in the synopsis. I'm guessing this is a secret that'll be revealed in the and I guess it's going to be a movie once it comes out, a pilot episode,
right,
for a web series, and it looks like it could be interesting. I don't know how they're going to explain Khan having a daughter, and this takes place post Voyager. Tuvok is like a head of Section 31, and it's even got Icheb in it from Voyager.
Wait, how do they have Tuvok and then they have, Chekhov as Admiral Chekhov? How does that work out?
Well, people live longer in the future. Didn't you know this?
Yeah, he must be really old.
Well, I mean, we saw Bones in the first episode of Next Generation.
I guess so.
And he was like, 100...
And Chekhov was much younger than the other crew when they first.
Yeah, and Chekhov had to be like 20 years at least younger.
He didn't even have stripes on his sleeves, so he was like an ensign or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was like fresh out of Starfleet, school when that happened. So, right. I mean, he's significantly younger. And, maybe since the beginning of Next Generation, toward the end of Voyager, they've got better life, extending
maybe they
medicines.
Do. I guess you got a point there. I didn't really think about it that way, but...
Or maybe, Chekhov's slightly more vain than...
He's taking those life extension drugs and he's...
lots of plastic surgery so he doesn't look as old and decrepit as Bones did. And
right. Bones wouldn't care about that. He'd be like, I'm just getting old. I was old before, now I'm really old. No, it's cool to see so much fandom and that these productions are really, really, like, top-notch. Other than going to a full-fledged studio and making, another movie or TV show, I don't think you get much better. I mean, honestly, it's they're just fantastic.
And there's all sorts of other things out there. These are just some of the things I've been looking into that I'm excited about that I've been watching. And from what I've seen, they're pretty decent quality, especially in Axar. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, that's great to look at. So why don't we talk about maybe some things that we think we'd like to see for the whole future of Star Trek?
I'd love to see something take place in the original timeline, mm-hmm. and post Voyager.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Something maybe not quite 29th century where they have all the time traveling ships, but I mean it could be interesting if they're able to write stories good enough to. Do lots of trials and tribulation episodes.
Yeah, but I think time travel gets people confused. So you gotta be careful. I think you lose a lot of people.
Yeah, ideally I'd like to see something maybe 60 years after Voyager or something like that where...
How about not even 60 years? How about just 15 years or something, where you just see a jump in technology, a new crew, or maybe a different situation politically with the Federation.
I mean, I think that's where Renegades is actually taking place.
Oh, is that right?
It's like it's probably in that spectrum, 15, 20 years after Voyager. So, I mean, that would be interesting, and I'd be interested to see how Renegades takes it. I would like to see that, or as a pipe dream, have maybe the Next Generation cast come back while they're still alive. Riker's got his own ship.
It'd be cool to see someone I know there was being tossed around a Captain Worf series. Michael Dorn was trying to push that for a while. Maybe take one of the next gen characters and put him for. There was even talk at one point of a Captain Sulu. This is going back quite a few years, but they were I think Charles Dekai was trying to get that off the ground too, and the studios weren't having it. A Riker becomes captain or Worf becomes captain or whoever,
Well, Riker got his own ship at the very end of Nemesis, so.
But my point only being is that we could see a spinoff in a different crew, but we have still, Jonathan Frakes playing Riker and, it'd be great to see that,
Oh, yeah, I'd love it. Something that will tie us together. Ideally, I'd like to see them come out with a couple shows that can overlap.
Yeah.
So that we can have something on a larger scale than just one ship. I don't know if any of you guys are fans of the Arrow and the Flash television show. I really like how they're doing crossover episodes now and then. And it was kind of a smart way to do it. You put out one show, make sure it's successful, spin off another show, use an episode in that to kind of spin off another show, and then if that did well, bringing up a whole new show. And if Star Trek did something like that, I would love to see something, you know, on a huge scale like that. Maybe even make it a bigger scale than just two ships.
That would be great, too. That'd be great. I mean, they kind of did that a little bit in, like, Deep Space Nine. They gave it a send-off with Next Gen. You know, there's a brief, like, in the very first episode with Picard and Sisko. And there even... Was there one for Voyager?
I can't remember. Voyager started off on Deep Space Nine. They were on Deep Space Nine before they go into the Badlands.
Right, that's right. I forgot. Yeah.
So there's always, like, there's always a tie-in to the next to the previous Star Trek in usually the first episode of all the series.
Or it could be, unfortunately, Generations. Not that tie-in.
No.
My feeling is what I'd like to see, and this is me just dreaming big, is you have an episode of Star Trek, a totally different crew. I'm not quite sure when I'd like to see it. It doesn't really matter to me as long as it has the spirit of Star Trek alive there. But that we see maybe two or three seasons pass, and then they already have pre-planned maybe a movie with that same crew in the future.
To, like, tie up an arc or something?
Yeah, like, have, like, an undergoing arc and have, like, a big finale for that story. You know, something, you know, obviously blockbuster size. And the other side of it is, would be great, be so cool. I would just love this if they, you know, in between all those seasons, because I know they do this for Walking Dead, you know, pepper in some YouTube shorts that people could tune in and see some little, maybe a backstory or maybe a little scene from something that you weren't aware that happened, and that you can kind of, like, maybe tie little parts of characters or storylines just going through. I think that would just be so cool. I mean, I don't understand why that's not on a table somewhere saying, you know, I mean, just look, I mean, I hate to say it, but just look at Marvel and Disney, how they're pushing all their characters. I mean, that was so well orchestrated. I mean, even what they're doing, they're doing the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they're doing the Daredevil show, and there's a whole bunch of coming up. It's such a great idea, you know, just tie in the TV world with the movie world and just lead it up to it. And then, you know, you have a huge audience. Like, after three seasons, if it's really doing well, you know, you have a huge fan base that's going to go see that movie.
Yeah, it's something I would definitely love to see, too. Like, just have something big in the world-building stage. Like, what Marvel's doing. And, you know, I'm going to talk about my dad a little bit, but my dad, he doesn't like the superhero movies, and he doesn't understand why there's so much movie.
Mr. Duncan, we need to have some words.
He just, like, you know, they just fight the bad guy, you know, beats them, they get stronger, figure out how to beat the bad guy, and they beat the bad guy at the end. And what I try to tell my dad is that it's just, like, I don't even know if it's just the content of the movie that's specifically making people love it. It's the world building.
Yeah.
There's nothing like this in cinematography. It's history has totally, ever happened.
Totally no.
And the fact that each movie exists within the same universe as another movie, and that there's cameos and tie-ins, it's almost like television, but in the movie theaters.
Yeah.
It's huge, and I think that's one of the biggest draws of those films.
Oh, I love it, and it's such a great idea. We were talking earlier how Warner Brothers can't get it together with their movies. You know, they have such iconic characters like Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman and Green Lantern, and they just can't seem to do it. I mean, one of my theories was always out there is that take the Smallville characters and put them into the Superman role, because you had, I don't know how many seasons Smallville went, but it was ridiculous, and they had such a huge fan base. You know, if you made that into a movie, like a big blockbuster movie, man, you would have had so many people so psyched to see that movie. I mean, it would have been great. So it's hard to understand why CBS,
the pharmacy?
No, CBS is not seeing the potential here. It's almost mind numbing to me that they're not seeing that Star Trek could be, you know, their own. Like, yeah, I don't know, like
ultimate Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I mean, It's just that, because we hear these calls out, like, we want to do a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and it's like, that's not what Star Trek's about, you know?
No, not at all, and that makes me worried. There's been talk of maybe giving Creature, that little guy that follows Scotty around, like, you know, maybe a speaking role. I'm like, no,
yeah,
don't let him speak.
I don't even understand the Creature. It's like, I'm not against the Creature, but it was like, what's a weird thing they threw in there, you know, like, give him a sidekick. It's like, why? What's that about?
You know, maybe he's not even really there. Maybe Scotty's so crazy he just imagines him.
He was doing
transwarp equations on himself.
Yeah,
maybe he left parts of himself.
His brain just slowly deteriorated. That's the one thing they didn't actually find out until much later in studies. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to think. The one thing I don't want to see is in any series or movie coming up, I don't want to see excessive violence. I think that's just, I don't mind action. I don't mind violence, but just violence or action for that sake, I think it goes against what Star Trek's about.
I don't know. Like, I think my actual biggest pipe dream for Star Trek would just be see it on like a premium channel, like HBO.
That would be great too.
And or Cinemax or no, not Cinemax, but Starz, Showtime, HBO. One of those big movie channels where it'll be a smaller season. You know, I'll suck it up and take a shorter season over, you know, the epic 27 episode long seasons, but have a good story arc from beginning to end, and
the possibility of boobs.
You know, there's always that. But like, I know you're just saying how no violence, and that's actually what kind of made me think about violence. Is that like, you know. You know, Klingons are supposed to be these crazy warriors, and they prefer using swords over energy weapons. And like, I'd love to see like a Klingon in combat.
I would too.
Just tearing somebody apart.
It's like, if you're going to write a Klingon story, that's cool that the violence is there because that's their culture. And I mean, I'll watch a violent movie or I'll watch a horror movie. Those things are. But to me, if you're writing a Star Trek movie and just throwing violence in there for violence's sake, I think that's silly because that's not what Star Trek's about.
I mean, it's going to be kind of hard because they usually use energy weapons like their stun or vaporize things. So, I mean, the violence would only really come in, I think, mostly with the Klingons.
Right.
And I'd love to see a Klingon... Klingons be scary.
Yeah.
Because Klingons are great. I love Klingons. And me and Aaron are talking. We want to do an episode specifically on Klingons and their inconsistencies over all the series. But... Klingons need to be scary. These people are warriors, and then you know, through Next Generation, we've learned they've got redundant organs and all this stuff. They should be fearsome, and a lot of times they're comical or just overly dumb. And
they're like the common thugs of the universe. They're just like these guys that just can't seem to figure out how to even get through a simple thing without think everyone's challenging them.
Yeah, Klingons should be scary, though. And that's what I want to see. Like, if they're on HBO, I want to see them be scary. I really even liked their horrible, like, tons of piercings and Into Darkness, like, making them more tribal and like, you know, almost, like, feral type creatures.
They were trying to
make them a little bit scary, but we didn't see it. There's no payoff because they got killed by Khan so quick.
Right. And the last thing I don't think I'd like to see, I am kind of done with, is, I just don't want to see another Kirk, Spock, McCoy reboot. I just want to get away from it. Those characters were so well done in the original series. We have all the movies. Let's tell another story. It could be another Enterprise. It could be the Enterprise before Kirk took command, I don't know. I mean, just it's just to me, it's like I want to see some different stories.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely like to see something not be that. But let's talk about what we think will probably happen in a Star Trek series. Like, what is the most logical? What is the most logical thing we think will happen based
on? I'm sorry, folks. This is where it gets depressing. Why don't you start?
To me, I think the most logical thing would be to keep it in the JJ verse, because why retcon something after only three movies?
Mm-hmm.
And set it in the Next Generation era, so they can, you know, still fiddle around with the original series if they need to or ever make any more movies, and that way they can just keep the TOS and the JJ verse to movies, or maybe transition it to a TV show if the movies don't do very well, and then, you know, start a show, and maybe, you know, in the next generation, and maybe recast the next gen.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they could surprise us and do something completely different. You know, like one of those old rumors from like a year or two ago was they do like a CI, you know, a CSI type show, which that worries me. Unless it's about Section 31, then that could be interesting. But based on what's knowable in Star Trek, and that's what they're capitalizing on in the JJ verse, what people know about Star Trek, the next out of. Once you're done with TOS, the next most relatable thing to Star Trek is Next Generation.
I think you're giving everyone at the studios there far more credit to thinking, because I think your IQ might be higher than theirs. This is where I think it's going to be. I think we're going to get a Star Trek 3. I'd like to see if it goes to a Star Trek 4, but I really think this is going to be the end of it. I think they'll do a Star Trek 3. I mean, the Star Trek 3, there won't be any more. There will be a TV show. I don't know what they're going to do for it, but I think it's going to be... there's two ways they could do it. They could do a spin-off. If they're really smart, they'd do a spin-off of one of the characters, like maybe make a Captain Sulu using the character Sulu. From the JJ-verse. That would be cool. I doubt they're going to be that smart. And
actually, one of the things we kind of forgot to cover at the beginning was that one of the rumors is they're going to try to introduce more female characters into the third Star Trek movie. One of them will be a female captain. So maybe that could be?
Yeah, maybe they'll do a spin-off of that. That'd be a cool idea, too. I just think what they'll do is they'll scrap the JJ verse. I honestly think they'll go back. They'll either do next gen or after next gen, and they'll just pretend that never even happened.
I don't know. I think Bad Robot and
Robot is not being employed any longer for that. You know, for the Star Trek unit, they're now in Star Wars, and they're, you know, devoted to that. I don't think they're going to go back to it.
But the thing is, the JJ movies have brought in a whole bunch of different fans that were never Star Trek fans before. And if they make a new Star Trek series, they need to bank on those new fans. I mean, we would like them to cater to us, the old fans, but I really don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to cater to the new fans. And to cater to the new fans, it would need to still be in the JJ universe.
I could see that happening, and maybe they're that smart to actually do that. But I see stuff like what Warner Brothers does with the DC Comics universe, and it doesn't seem like they even understand. I mean, they have, you know, all these characters and their TV show, which are tied together, like you're saying, like the Flash and Arrow are tying together, and that's really well done. But why aren't they tying into the movies?
Oh, that really made me mad that they're not tying into the movies.
It's just
because they're dark and grim, just like the Superman.
Just
Man of Steel movie was.
Just let's push them all into the movies and just have them all work together. But the studio executives, they just, you know, I don't know what gets in their head, but they think they got to do something totally new, something different. They want a clean slate, so that's why I think they might scrap the JJ universe. I could be wrong. Maybe that's not going to happen. But I just have a bad feeling that whatever they're going to do, they're just not going to do it the way you think, in the most intelligent way to go forward.
I mean, sure, but at this point, it's kind of hard to tell which is the least intelligent way to go forward.
I agree. I mean, it's like, to me, it's like the JJ universe seems a little bereft in some things because of losing Planet Vulcan. I think that's a huge piece of what Star Trek is tied into, but you can always explore different facets of the Federation and of what that means for the Federation and just Star Trek itself. And then on the other side, it's like if you scrap all those three movies, they make the three movies and they just kind of put them together and they move on to a different. Maybe that's what they'll do as well, or maybe like I said, there's a rumor of doing a TV show that's going to be like far in the future, you know, after next gen, like far after that. So maybe it'll be a totally different thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd love to see something after Next Gen 2. It'll be interesting to see how they take technology in Star Trek even further into the future. So, with the studios, we're not sure where they're going to go. They could go anywhere, because we're not sure what is the smartest or the dumbest route that they could take.
I just feel powerless. That's what I feel like in the end. I don't feel like the fans have really a voice, other than their fan material that they're putting out. I just feel kind of powerless what the studios are doing, because I just feel that they don't really care about the fans. I think they just, or what Star Trek properties are, I think they're kind of just pushing it for the dollar. And
ultimately, I don't think CBS or Paramount knows what to do with Star Trek, and they kind of haven't.
They're just like, I don't know what to do with this. This is it's hard to believe they don't, but you know, I just don't think they have any real Star Trek fans in there. I'd like to bring out one small thing that is going to happen. This is kind of cool. Up my alley. I'm sorry to Mr. Duncan Sr., but there looks like they're going to be a crossover between Star Trek and Green Lantern in the comic books world. So it's going to be kind of cool. So we have Star Trek coming together with the original series of Captain Kirk and the USS Enterprise, and they're going to be with Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, and they're going to be fighting Sinestro and the Sinestro Corps.
So who's doing the time traveling, Green Lantern or the Star Trek people?
It doesn't really say how that's going to come together. I'm sure that will be all explained when we get into the comics, but it looks like they're doing a couple crossovers as well. It won't be just Green Lantern. It might be the Legions of Superheroes as well that's going to be in there, but be a fun twist, because they're two different companies too. Star Trek right now, the comic books are being published by IDW, and obviously DC Comics is a totally separate comic, so they're doing a crossover special for this. So
that's definitely interesting, and I know they've done some other crossovers. They did the Doctor Who Star Trek Next Generation crossover. Mm-hmm. They also did
Planet of the Apes Star Trek crossover.
I've not read any of these. The only comics I'm really currently reading for Star Trek are the Star Trek Ongoing series, which is canon to the JJ universe.
There is also a real cool, if anybody is interested, there's a I think it's just collected in a whole book now. It's the actual original script for City on the Edge of Forever, and the illustrations are beautiful. They're not like the typical, they're very, comic book art. They're very, like, painterly. So that's something fun if you at your local comic book shop or bookstore, you can look around for, because it's now collected in a full book. And it's really well done, and it's not McCoy who gets the hypo spray. It's a guy who's high on drugs on the Enterprise.
Oh, that's cool.
They cut that out from the original because they didn't think it made sense to have a guy with
abusing drugs
in the future, like in the Star Trek.
Well, I can definitely see where Gene Roddenberry would have wanted to cut that out.
Yeah, no, but it's Ellison wrote this story originally, and I guess it went through a lot of edits. So this is the original one that he did, and it's a good read. It's fun. It's fun to read. So.
All right, and we're going to get into one of our segments that we kind of hope to do somewhat regularly. It's something we kind of tossed around for as an idea for just a kind of a funny segment to do, like when we were talking about the original ideas for the podcast. And it's kind of like a Riker scores and Harry fails type thing, where, it doesn't have to be just Riker, it doesn't have to be just Harry Kim, but like we'll highlight, just funny things that happen with, like,
we're talking about how Riker was the man with the ladies, and Harry Kim just couldn't seem to get it together.
Well, but the thing is, when Harry Kim does get it on, they're both failures. Both times he gets it on.
I know, but that just being said, Riker seems to be the exact opposite of Harry Kim.
And, we'll talk about, whatever, just as a kind of a funny segment. So here we go.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't.
Shut up, kid.
Riker getting on with Guinan.
Well, that's just our intro for the segment. But we were first talk about his involvement with the Deanna Troi from Encounter at Farpoint.
Well, his past involvement that they don't really tell you everything, but it's insinuated that him and Deanna had a past when he was down on Bezoid.
They are Imzadi to each other.
Yeah. So Riker worked his charm, and he got the attention of a young Deanna Troi, which that's got to be pretty nice. I always thought that was weird in the first that first episode, because I do remember that distinctly and how she had that little like
they had a telepathic talk and yeah, they never ever brought that up ever again.
Yeah, it was just a real quick. She's like, "Do you remember when we fell in?" I don't know what the words she said, but she was like, "You know, do you remember us and stuff like that?" And he was like, "Oh yeah, I remember. We got busy on the beta set." So, yeah, that was a pretty big score right off the bat for Riker. They were just putting him right there, you know.
Setting him up as the ladies' man, where, like, he's basically Captain Kirk, although way worse than Captain Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk, you know, Kirk had his fun, don't get me wrong, but, you know, there's times when Kirk, you know, would kind of, like, push that away. Like, no, we're not going to do that.
Riker, I don't think Riker ever said no.
Only to that Klingon broad that Q gave her, or whatever. I don't remember.
That was a special circumstance because they were all having to show willpower to say no to Q.
Yeah. But otherwise, it would be...
If everyone else wasn't saying no, Riker would have probably said.
I'll be in my quarters.
I'll be in my bunk. That's what Jane says in Firefly. I'll be in my bunk.
I'll be playing my trombone. So, Riker's the man. You can't deny that. He's got to play with the women. Although I thought he was laying a little bit too strong on there for Guinan, even if there was a little role play they were doing together.
Yeah, to help Wesley out, because Wesley was like, "What's a girl?
What do you do with your sexual organs? What is that for?"
Oh.
Yeah, poor Wesley.
Well, he did get to kiss Ashley Judd.
Yeah, that is nice. That is nice, yeah.
Go Mr. Whedon.
Yeah, too bad that you had to go stuck with that weird traveler out in space after that. I don't think he'd be kissing anybody after that.
Well, he did show up to Riker and Troy's wedding.
Yeah, he just probably popped in. I kind of figured he was like traveling the universe like Doctor Who does. He just probably pops in and then leaves. I don't know how he does it, but...
Apparently, Wesley's dad wasn't Wesley's dad.
Beverly had
encounter with a traveler.
She had an encounter at Farpoint. Oh.
How long was she on Farpoint?
I don't know.
Because Wesley's, what, like 14, or supposed to be 14 when we meet him? Although he's written like he's like a six-year-old.
Yeah, well, I think Farpoint went a lot farther than we thought it did. Kind of snaked around.
Oh, with those giant jellyfish arms.
My God. This is disturbing in so many ways.
All right, guys. Well, today is the 5th of April. This is First Contact Day.
Yes.
That we are recording this.
I think even by our calendars that we should have made contacts with the Vulcans. I don't know exact date it was, but it was like the 1990s or whenever it was supposed to be when Khan was around. And then I don't know when the whole nuclear war thing was supposed to happen.
I don't know if that was the same thing or not. It's unclear in Star Trek canon.
They don't give it the date for first contact, but they do. But I mean, it's like they... I think it was like 1997, Khan was... taking over the world, and that's when they shot him off on space. So, and then there must have been some huge war, and kind of like reduced civilization to a nothing, you know, that we saw in First Contact. So, but anyways.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for our Futures of Star Trek episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and shoot us an email. We want to hear your thoughts on what the future of Star Trek is. Join the Facebook group.
Tell us what you think of the show, if there's anything you'd like us to talk about, if there's anything that you think we should stop talking about.
I think we'll get a whole bunch of no's about the Riker scores.
I think we'll get a bunch of no's about the encounter at Farpoint.
Well, guys, live long and prosper. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. All of our music was provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us online at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Our Twitter is at synthaholicduo. If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan and Aaron at Blackbird2004. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes. We can also be found on Stitcher. Please tell your friends about the show. Also, if you could leave us a review and a rating, that would help us out so much. It'll help us learn how to improve so we can reach more of our fellow Trek fans. We'd love to hear your feedback. Live long and prosper. He was a young Starfleet doctor, about fell off his rocker. When his assignment came in, country boys born and raised at the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants.
You're We're talking about sex, people.
Counter at one point. That's comedic gold.